You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gym Class on KGYM as we take you through a Tuesday edition of the show. Great to have you aboard on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. Jam-packed show today. Start things off, Kirk Ferentz met the media earlier on today in Iowa City. We'll talk about that. Iowa, Minnesota coming up, the battle for Floyd of Rosedale on Saturday. Speaking of the battle for Floyd of Rosedale, our friend Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, will join us, and we'll talk Iowa, Minnesota coming up here in just a little bit. And then Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, senior college football writer, will join us. And we'll talk about college football with Adam, both on and off the field. So looking forward to that on what should be a terrific Tuesday program here on the Gym Class. It is presented each and every day by DePaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DePaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to that website at DePaco.com. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, and most importantly, you out there, 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you at any time. That is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call here on this snowy Tuesday, but not as snowy as they thought it was going to be, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And snow nonetheless, melting on the streets. Not much of a hazard, I should say. But looks to be about over for now.
For now. They said there might be another round tonight. And the big problem tonight is going to be when this stuff starts to freeze on the roadways, and that's when you're going to have to use some pretty good caution out there. But just keep that in mind if you have anywhere to travel around the state of Iowa, eastern Iowa, what have you, here today. A lot to get to. Let's start with Kirk Ferentz in Iowa City today. Mark, meeting the media as Iowa gets ready to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers, as we mentioned. That'll be a Saturday game, 3 o'clock on Fox Television from Huntington Bank Stadium up there in the Twin Cities. And 50-50 news, I think, as far as injuries are concerned. Sounds like Arlen Bruce is going to be back. He has been practicing the last couple of days. Probably not the case for Bo Stevens, though.
No, he appears questionable at best, according to Kirk Ferentz. Arlen Bruce has practiced the last couple days, and Kirk is hopeful of getting him back, which would be a boost. Kirk opened his news conference today expressing his condolences to those affected in the Virginia shootings. Nice touch there. But other than that, that's about the extent of the news. Nick DeYoung will be in for Stevens on the offensive line. And DeYoung has quite a bit of experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And talked about as well the offensive line, and he said that, you know, it's not really stunning news here that the offensive line took a little step back in that game against Wisconsin. Wasn't happy with the way that they were one-on-one with some of the Badgers. He did acknowledge the fact that Wisconsin was very aggressive as far as their defense is concerned. Moved around a lot, did a lot of stunting, did some blitzing as well from the linebacker spots. But even with that being said, still wasn't real thrilled with their play.
Not surprising. And he was also asked about recruiting. And I think it was a question about Caden Proctor, whether Proctor was named or not, and what effect losing a recruit might have on the program. And Kirk said, like injuries, you just have to work around it.
I thought it was a good answer. He wasn't going to come out and say, you know, oh, man, we're going to shut the program down if we don't get this guy. It's happened with, the running back in Florida for this particular class. He did not name names, but said we lost a guy that we were going after. And, you know, we basically wish them well, but, you know, life goes on. Mm-hmm. It's kind of akin to an injury situation, if you will. next man in. He also talked about the recruitment of Cooper DeJean a little bit. And, you know, he talked about the fact that there are no secrets anymore, and we all know that. I mean, you know, eighth grade, you know, class 1A rural Iowa has Huddle right now, and they throw their highlights out there. Everybody knows everybody out there. He was surprised that more people weren't going after Cooper DeJean. He said it was a lot like the Josie Jewell situation. Keep in mind, Iowa offered Josie Jewell at the last possible moment. Mark, if you recall.
Headed for UNI,
He was headed for UNI, the linebacker out of Decorah, who's now a starting linebacker in the National Football League the last several years with the Denver Broncos when he's been healthy. But there are no secrets out there anymore. And, you know, you miss out on one guy, you're going to go out and get another guy. He kind of hinted to the fact that, yeah, in the old days, you know, you got a film on a guy. Well, you might misplace that film. I thought that was kind of tongue-in-cheek funny for Kirk today.
There's players everywhere. We've talked about that before, and they find one in Old Bolt, Iowa, a really good one, quality recruit who has paid dividends very early in his career, specifically last week. But beyond that, DeJean has been very, very good, as good as advertised, at least around parts of Iowa. But it's still an inexact science, despite the fact that NIL is out there. And we'll ask Adam Rittenberg about the effects of that. But it always has been and still is an inexact science.
That it is. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. If you'd like to interact with us today, we would definitely appreciate that. Of course, we got the Before the Boom podcast coming up this week on Friday. We'll have that ready for your consumption, and you can find out more at kgymradio.com about that. It'll be there. It can be downloaded as well on the free KGYM app for your phone as well. And the Before the Boom podcast is presented by Edith Lucille's on Mount Vernon Road Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right at the Squaw Creek Bridge over there on Mount Vernon Road, the old Lincoln Highway, if you will, Mark.
Truth.
For those of the long in the tooth out there. Everybody should know where the old Lincoln Highway was, right? Everybody should know that.
Look it up.
Look it up. Look it up, kids out there. This game is, and we'll talk with Mike Grimm about it in a couple of minutes, but this is a huge, huge game. The scenarios have been played out. I know, in fact, Mike Hall from the Big Ten Network put things together as far as the scenarios are concerned. And pretty simple as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. If Iowa wins both games, Illinois loses to Michigan, Iowa is the Big Ten Western Division champion. For Minnesota, they need to win both games. They need that Illinois loss, but they also must get a Purdue upset loss in there as well. So, tougher path as far as the Gophers are concerned than Iowa.
Yeah, need a lot more, no question about it. And I don't know, are you quick to put the Michigan-Illinois game in the Michigan column?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yep. Yep. Aren't you?
Yeah.
In Ann Arbor?
Chase Brown's going to play, apparently, for Illinois.
I know it's ahead of...
It's a good defense.
I know it's ahead of the game, but...
17 points?
Do you really think Illinois, after losing at home to Michigan State and Purdue, is going to somehow rise from the ashes, go to Ann Arbor and beat Michigan?
No.
I don't either. 11:43, talking about recruiting, Mark. Asking our expert opinions, do you believe that Caden Proctor is gone? I have no idea. He's not saying. His people aren't saying. His family isn't saying. He knows. And like we said yesterday, he had some visits to take. Maybe he just decided, hey, might be fun to go to Autzen Stadium. And
why would you do that, though?
Why not?
Just for a visit?
You had a chance to go somewhere nice, you know, have fun. People dote over you. Aren't you going to do that?
give me a chance to decline, I guess.
3474 says Josie Jewell was headed to Luther, not you and I. I thought it was you and I, but maybe they know.
To answer the question from 1143, I don't know either. But I found it very interesting that Proctor would accept a trip out to Oregon, Eugene, and after having not included Oregon on his final list of teams he was considering, declined a visit in June. He could have went out there in June, Scott.
Could have.
But all of a sudden, he decides to take a visit now. I don't know the young man. I know his friend and teammate, Xavier Wampa, is at Iowa.
Correct.
I think he has probably gotten in Caden's ear a little bit. Maybe Proctor's still firm in his commitment. I really don't know. Maybe he just wanted to go visit Eugene for a couple days after Southeast Polk reached the 5A finals. I don't know.
Yes, Oregon has a lot of NIL money. We are very aware of that, 96-63. And 0835 on the text line says, if I remember right, Justin Jacobs did the same thing when he committed to Iowa. He visited Ohio State. Okay, it was Luther. I know he had an offer from you and I. But it sounds better if it was Luther to Iowa, right? Why would he leave, says 3148. He should be able to see that our O-line is the weakest part of the team and he can come in and contribute next year. Well, perhaps. I mean, that's what a lot of people are looking at anyway. Iowa's had great success putting offensive linemen in the NFL. But Oregon's Oregon. Proctor was in Iowa City against Northwestern, says David in Hudson. A pretty girl wants to take you on a date before you get married. Nothing wrong with enjoying a weekend for Proctor. Now, Matt.
Said fiancé is not going to be real happy about it.
I am not going to comment on Matt's text right there. We need to take a break. We're going to get a weather update and a break, a quick one, and we'll come back. Going to talk Iowa, Minnesota with Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and we'll do it right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Copelman with your weather first forecast, and a winter weather advisory remains in effect as light to moderate snow continues through the day today. That's going to really pile up on elevated and grassy surfaces, leading to slick conditions on those overpasses and bridges. The roads may get slick as we head into the evening commute as well as that snow continues to fall. We will get into a lull overnight tonight with some dry conditions, but some additional snow showers will move in tomorrow morning. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. So that's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code COON. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets from the money lines to point spreads to player props. You can combine these bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same-game parlays. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, and you get your winnings paid fast. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code COON for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code KUHN. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
We are back at 3:18, the Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM. A big thank you to everybody for joining us today. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. We'll talk with Adam Rittberg coming up here in just a little bit as well on the very busy edition of the Gym Class on this Tuesday here on KGYM. We were talking about Caden Proctor more than the game between Iowa and Minnesota, but we're going to talk about the game for Floyd of Rosedale, and we're going to do that right now with our friend Mike Grimm,
the terrific play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers and proud Eastern Iowan and native of Manchester, Iowa, as he gets ready to call the game on Saturday. Mike, how you doing? Did the land of 10,000 lakes receive some snow today as well?
It's snowing now. Yeah, we got about, where I'm at, about 2 inches on the ground, so this is no good. But it is what it is. It's why we choose this, I don't know. There are places that don't have this, and here we are.
Have Viking fans recovered from that Bills game, Mike?
That was unbelievable. That might be one of the most, maybe the most incredible football game I've ever watched. You know, I was like everyone else watching on TV. And I will say, when Cousins did not make the sneak and he was just a few inches short, immediately I thought to myself, and I'm not a, I mean, I did not grow up a Vikings fan or anything. I kind of follow them now because it's the local team, but I'm not, you know, die hard, live or die. So I didn't have a huge rooting stake in it, other than it's nice that my friends and others, you know, enjoy it when they win. And unlike, you know, some of the folks in the media, they just like it when things go off the rails. I don't care. So I'm fine. That said, I immediately said, look, they cannot kneel on the ball from that 3-inch line. It's not over. I was thinking there's a chance for a safety because there was no way the Bills were going to throw. They likely weren't going to hand it off, and they had the big quarterback. But I'm like, you just got to line everybody up right over the center and just hope that he doesn't come out. And it was funny. I was watching the game with my father-in-law, and he was laughing at me. He's like, yeah, that's pretty optimistic. I'm like, not optimistic. I don't care either way. Like, legitimately, they can't kneel on it. I didn't know that they were actually just going to hand him a touchdown. But I think that all was part of it. That, you know, he knew he had to get out of the end zone, so he probably rushed the step. And the next thing you know, it was crazy. And then there's, 45 seconds left, and they go to overtime. And, you know, that was one of the more wild games. I think that catch by Jefferson on 4th and 18 might be the best catch I've ever seen. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on in that one.
I said it was the best catch I've ever seen. Name me one that's better. And there have been some good ones, but I think that was the best one that I have ever witnessed anyway. Not in person, but on television and the like.
Yeah.
Iowa, Minnesota, that's a big game coming up on Saturday. It's always a big game, as you know, growing up here in the state of Iowa, Mike, and now in Minnesota. But a lot on the line for the Hawkeyes suddenly. Minnesota still with a path to a Big Ten Western Division championship anyway. Points are going to be at a premium. It's going to be cold, and there's a pig on the line. So everything's right with the world now, right?
Yeah, November Big Ten football, likely, a low-scoring, slugfest. You know, both teams are real physical. I mean, they just are. I mean, those guys on Sunday are all going to be in the hot tubs or the cold tubs or whatever, because it's no doubt going to be one of those kind of games. And, it's interesting because I think – well, you know, both teams are going to probably this week, and certainly there's been news conferences already. But the big thing, because I think everyone expects that kind of a low-scoring game, the big thing everybody is going to say is you can't make mistakes. You can't make mistakes. And to me, I don't know if that's the case. I think you got to – both teams are going to have to take some risks to try to score points. And if it pays off, it pays off. And if not, you just take your medicine and move on. But I don't think either offense is so good that a team that – makes a couple of mistakes can't win. Neither of these teams are undefeated by any means, so and the opponents aren't playing perfect in those games. So I think, I think this should be a quite an interesting matchup, and I think it's probably about right. I think what is about a 2-point spread, and that's pretty much because of home field. And I think it's two evenly matched good defensive teams that at times have had some struggles, each of them offensively, and go about things a little differently, but it's going to be a good one.
Mike, talk to us about the health of the Gophers, principally quarterback Tanner Morgan.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think we'll find out, until, pregame warmups. We did not know last week until pregame warmups that Morgan would not play. We knew that he did not finish that Nebraska game. And so, and I'm not sure, quite frankly, I don't think it's a difference maker either way. Morgan's got experience, but I'm telling you, people who want to discount this kid for the Gophers as playing quarterback just based on a couple of games so far are probably making a mistake. The kid can run, He's got a great arm. Obviously, does not have a lot of experience, but he has made some plays. And he, depending on what the game plan might be, I mean, this is a guy that can run. This is a guy that can throw. He's got the best arm. Now, whether the decisions are all there, he's got the best arm of any Gopher quarterback. Believe it or not, a time flies. This is year 17 for me here in the Twin Cities. I can't believe it when I say it out loud. But in 17 years of following this program, this kid has the best arm. So what that means Saturday, I don't know. But I wouldn't be like, oh, well, it's a cakewalk if the backup plays. I just wouldn't feel that way. Because remember, last year the Gophers played the Hawkeye backup and lost. So, a backup quarterback can win this game. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
How are we pronouncing his last name?
last name is Kaliak Manis. Kaliak Manis.
Okay.
So it's a mouthful. You should try announcing the game. you got to be quick with the tongue there because pretty soon then he hands it off, to Ibrahim. And so there's a couple of tongue twisters. And I think the Gophers must lead the country in hyphenated names as well. So there's a lot of long names on this Minnesota team that you pour through. So our buddy Gary Dolphin will have his own challenge there with the opposition this week.
It's true in that. And great to see Mo Ibrahim make it so far pretty healthy through the year anyway. I mean, he's a special guy. Kirk Ferentz had nothing but just terrific praise for the Gopher running back today. And this guy is going to be, if not the best, certainly one of the handful of best that ever played for the Gophers and run the football.
Well, yeah, he's my broadcast partner is Daryl Thompson. He's the all-time leading rusher in Gopher history with 4,600 and some. And Mo last week went into number two all-time at around 4,200 or so, or 4,100. So there is an outside shot if he would have he's going up against some good defenses here in the final two, but if somehow he'd pop a big game, and then you add in a bowl game possibility, there's an outside chance he could pass him. But he's already passed him in all-time touchdowns. He went over 50 career touchdowns. So, yeah, there's no doubt his name is etched all over the running back list. And, really, when you think about it, they've had some good ones here. You go back to Lawrence Maroney and the late Marion Barber and his dad, Marion Barber, and Daryl Thompson. Thomas Toupet was pretty good in his time, and they've had good ones. And Ibrahim now is the second best in terms of yardage, total yards. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, well, that's because he got the extra year. And in actuality, he's actually played in fewer games because, remember, he missed all of one year and a lot of another year. And he's actually played in fewer games than Daryl Thompson did, who was basically a starter from day one. He started all 4 years at Minnesota back in the late 80s and early 90s. And a lot of people don't know this, he's not coming back. I think he's made it clear. Ibrahim, believe it or not, actually is eligible to come back next year if he wants. He has 1 year left, but I think six is enough for him, and he's going to, try his hand next year at professional football.
Mike, when it has gone wrong for this Gopher team, and that's only happened three times, but it happened in succession against Purdue, Illinois, and Penn State. When things have gone wrong, what's the reason?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, Mark, because all three of those losses were kind of different kind of losses. So, the Gophers had just come off of that win at Michigan State in late September, and at that time, Michigan State was ranked. That was a road win. They absolutely just killed the Spartans in that game. It was 34-7 and wasn't that close. It was total domination from the start. And so a lot of people, including me, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be the favorite in the West here, the Gophers. And then they host Purdue the next week. Ibrahim had sprained his ankle in that Michigan State game, so he missed the Purdue game. So to start with, that was a problem, not having him as a factor. And in retrospect, looking back, I do believe Minnesota probably wins that game if Ibrahim plays. But everyone's dealing with injuries. Everyone's got guys that are out. And the Gophers also have their best receiver who hasn't played once conference play started. He blew out his knee, Chris Altman-Bell, in the Colorado game. So they, and then you got your quarterback, who's a six-year guy that has now missed, I guess, eight quarters of football in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Anyway, the point being that game at Purdue, they didn't have Ibrahim, so that was the start of it. They were down 10-3, and on their way to tie, they had a first and goal or maybe it was a first and 10 at like the 13, perfect strike in the end zone, what would have been a touchdown right on the guy's numbers, and it ends up into the air. And instead of just hitting the ground and being second and 10 from the 13, it lands in the defensive back's hands. It's an interception, so you get no points there. The field goal kicker has missed one field goal all year, and it happened to be a 28-yarder in that game. And so just some weird stuff. Drop touchdowns, missed easy field goals. Then at the end, this team does not give up a lot of explosive plays. They gave up. It was a 10-10 game right up into like the six-minute mark. Purdue scored to make it 13-10. I mean, Minnesota's defense was really good that day. They held Purdue, in essence, to 13 points. And then Minnesota had to had to punt. And with like 3 or 4 minutes left, they're trying to strip the ball, and the kid goes for a 68-yard touchdown. And so that pretty much sealed it. But that game was closer, and it was just one of those weird games, plays to be made. I didn't feel that, you know, you're disappointed that the team didn't make plays, but they were there to be made. So you know that, look, that's an execution thing, and this team usually executes, so nothing to worry about. Then the next week they go to Illinois and just could not get off the field defensively, but they held them to field goals. And that game was probably a little closer than it should have been. That Illinois just controlled that game. So now all of a sudden, Illinois is in control of the West. And then at Penn State, you know, they start the freshman quarterback, his first career start. It's a whiteout. They held their own for 2.5 quarters. And honestly, I had not seen a Minnesota team. You know, PJ's got those guys pretty disciplined, pretty tight. They're traditionally one of the least penalized teams. They're usually lined up in the right spot. And they kind of went off the rails. I had not seen that much. Guys lined up in the wrong spot. They scored a touchdown on a play where a receiver was just simply uncovered. The defensive, there were two cornerbacks on one side of the field and none on the other. And it just, you don't see that much. So that I would just kind of punt. I mean, it was just kind of one of those weird games. I wouldn't take much from it. And Penn State's obviously the best team, I think, up to this point that Minnesota has played. So that's a long answer. And I don't think there's any one thing that was common in any of them. They were all just kind of three different types of losses. Completely beaten in Illinois, played well enough, probably should have beaten Purdue without your running back, and then the Penn State game kind of went off the rails haywire.
Yeah. Mike Grimm joining us for a few more minutes here on the Gym Class for Tuesday on KGYM. This defense for Minnesota, I think, is kind of a little bit underappreciated in the Big Ten and nationally, Mike. Number 8 overall in the country, very stingy both against the run and the pass. And tell us about this defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, last year they were number 3 in the country total defense. And so we always have to kind of preface, like, yes, they played in the Big Ten West, which is an offensive limited, you know, limited offensive division. So the stats, you know, Wisconsin every year is really good. Well, you know, they're going up against, you know, usually some pedestrian offenses around the West. But that said, that doesn't matter. I mean, this defense has been really good now for a number of years. Number 3 last year in the country in total defense. And they've been really good this year outside of that second half at Penn State, like I said, when they all kind of went nuts. They all kind of haywire just a little bit. And look, they haven't played a great non-conference schedule, and I know the detractors will look at that. But good teams don't, you know, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, hey, they're just an average team going against a terrible team. They dominated. Like, they forced Nebraska into 6 straight 6-and-outs at one point a couple of weeks ago. They forced New Mexico State, who's not a great team, although they have won 4 games. I looked that up today. I was surprised. They're 4-5, but, you know, they're not Big Ten caliber. I think it was 11 straight 3-and-outs or something like that, and, you know, 9 or 10 punts in that game. So what I would say they have done is over the course of the last couple of years, they have played – when they have played against a team that what I would call mediocre to below-average quarterback play, Minnesota has feasted on those, as other good defenses would do as well. But Minnesota falls in line with that. So, you know, read into that what you will maybe for this week. But it's been a situation where when they've played against, you know, mid-level to lower-level quarterbacks, the Gophers have really shut the offense down. And, you know, we'll see what happens here this weekend.
Minnesota's concerns about Iowa, I'm sure it has to start with the Hawkeyes' defense. Anything else?
Well, I think that's number one whenever you're going to play Iowa right now, the way this defense, one, just generally plays, right? I mean, they're just a really good defense. But then when the defense in and of itself is averaging, what is it, like 3.6 points a game or something? I think I saw somebody tweet out or something today. The defense, I mean, maybe special teams was mixed in, but that's pretty impressive. So now if you're an offensive coordinator in the other team, you have to make a business decision, a game plan decision as to, you know, how risky do I want to get, because a mistake can turn into points pretty quick. And if I have a pretty good defense myself, you know, do I want to put them in peril? If, you know, like the punt can be a weapon, I guess, if you punt, you know. And so the question is going to be where Minnesota wants to go. And I think on the flip side, it'll probably be similar. What do the Hawkeyes want to do against a pretty good Minnesota defense? And do they want to take chances? And in recent weeks, Minnesota's generated a much better pass rush than they did early in the year. They weren't sacking anybody early. They've got 6 sacks in the past 2 weeks against Nebraska and Northwestern. So they've generated a little better pass rush in recent weeks. And so I think they feel better about that part of the game. But I think to answer the question, Mark, there's no question. I think like anyone who plays Iowa, they have to concern themselves with how to walk that fine line of not making mistakes that turn into points for that Iowa defense, but then not locking up so much of the offense that it plays into that Iowa defense hands and you got no chance anyway, right? So it's that fine line, and I don't know what the line will be. I don't know what Minnesota's been pretty conservative. They run the ball about 68% of the time anyway. I think, you know, one of the top 2 or 3 in all of FBS and Power 5, I should say. There's some FBS teams, the Army and Navy, and some of those run a little higher percent, but the Gophers are definitely heavy on the run. So that will be a question game plan wise, is how do you attack that Hawkeye defense that's been pretty stingy, really, in all forms, you know, every facet of the game, and they score points.
Should be interesting. It always is. It'll be cold. We know that. So it's Big Ten football at its finest right there. And, Mike, appreciate the time. Always great catching up with you. And have fun on the call for Minnesota-Iowa coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to it. This is always, obviously, with my background, my favorite game of the year. So hopefully we're in for a good one. And, you know, the winner still likely keeps itself alive, right, to get to Indianapolis. Some will have better. Like, I think if Iowa wins, then they've got a higher percentage opportunity than if Minnesota wins. But either way, the winner keeps their hopes alive, that's for sure.
All right. Mike, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
You got it. Take care, guys. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You bet. Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, joining us here on the Gym Class. Quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk with Adam Rittenberg. We'll get to Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update a little bit later on. So stay with us. More to come right after this.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 9th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
We'll do that again later. There is no emergency. We'll get that a little bit later on. Our thanks to Mike Grimm for joining us, talking Minnesota football, and we're going to continue to talk some Big Ten football right now as friend of the show, Adam Rittenberg, does a great job for ESPN, senior college football writer, kind enough to join us here on a snowy Tuesday here in eastern Iowa on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And Adam, how you doing, first of all? And second of all, how about this Big Ten West, huh?
Always has surprises. Yeah, I hope you guys are doing well here. And, yeah, just when you thought that it was going to be wrapped up in Illinois, they, you know, you don't want to use the choke word too often, but those are two pretty bad losses, given what was on the line for the Illini. A home field against a depleted Michigan State team, and you lose that game, and then, you know, you lose to Purdue, which had been really inconsistent last week. So now it opens it up, right, for Iowa and Purdue and Minnesota, and yeah, the whole race is jumbled. If someone will get someone will be spit out at the end to take on Michigan or Ohio State in Indianapolis, which probably won't be pretty, but it makes for a fun few final weeks here of the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Adam, but Scott and I have gone round and round each and every week, it seems like. One week, Purdue's got a great shot. Next week, it's Illinois, and then it's Minnesota. Maybe not in that order. But now it might come down to, you know, Iowa beating Wisconsin last week, and if it can beat Minnesota this week, you got to believe Illinois is going to stumble against Michigan. Is that the way you've kind of looked at things over the last few weeks?
Well, right. And the Iowa win over Purdue, which had been a problem for Iowa, Mark, as you know, could really resonate in this. You know, Purdue's finishing schedule is pretty easy with Northwestern and Indiana, you know, two of the weaker teams in the conference. So you'd imagine that Purdue will finish at 8-4 and 6-3, but Iowa, if they can take care of Minnesota and Nebraska, also will finish with that record, and they have the head-to-head over Purdue. So that one seems to be the you know, the way that it could go. But again, the Hawkeyes, even though they've been playing better lately, they've been playing outstanding defense really all season, other than the Ohio State game. You know, they have to finish out the right way, and that means you know, a game against Minnesota. It's going to be incredibly cold this weekend, and we'll see if they can, you know, continue this formula of tremendous defense and no mistakes offense, or limited mistakes on offense, because you know, there have been a lot of box scores this year, as you guys know, with Iowa that kind of blow your mind. You know, a two-touchdown win with 11 first downs and 146 total yards is something that should be framed in Phil Parker's office, because his unit is really the only reason why we're even talking about Iowa having a chance to repeat in the Big Ten West.
Looking ahead a couple of weeks, and 3 weeks really, to Indianapolis and the Big Ten championship game. First of all, my first question of a two-parter here, can both Michigan and Ohio State, in your eyes and in your opinion, both get in the top four when this is all said and done? And number two, whoever survives this fun-filled Big Ten West, I mean, what's going to happen to them? Usually the Big Ten likes to send those teams to a January 1st bowl. I don't know how you do that this year with, you know, everything that the Big Ten West has gone through. Just your thoughts on those two questions.
Well, it's going to be tough, I think, for the Ohio State-Michigan loser. Certainly with Michigan, it's going to be incredibly tough because they don't have anything out of conference to help them. You know, they do have the win over Penn State, which was terrific, but overall, it's not an impressive enough resume, I think, to get ahead of Tennessee and some of the other likely conference champions that you're going to be competing against. You're probably competing against the ACC champion and the Pac-12 champion. Now, the Pac-12 has all teams with at least two losses except for USC. USC has UCLA on the road, Notre Dame home, and then the Pac-12 title game to improve their resume as a one-loss Pac-12 champion. So Ohio State, it might be an easier case, Scott, you know, because they have the win over Notre Dame at a conference. They have a road win over Penn State. They would have the home loss to Michigan. They wouldn't have that championship game, but you might be able to make a case a little bit more for Ohio State than for Michigan. But I think overall, when you have a team like Tennessee, which in all likelihood is going to finish 11-1, you know, with their only loss on the road to the number one team and the defending national champion, that's a hard team to keep out, especially in favor of a team with a similar situation, one loss, no conference champion, no division champion, but didn't have the wins that the Vols had. So you probably need chaos in some of those other ones. And as far as the Big Ten West, yeah, I think someone goes to the Outback Bowl or something like that. But it's not necessarily it is just not a very deep league this year, let's be honest. I mean, you have three teams in Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, and then there's a pretty big drop-off at that point. Even Maryland, a team that was looking like it could be top 25, about a month ago, you know, they've really, you know, fallen off a cliff here with the losses to, you know, Wisconsin and last week they weren't very good. So it just isn't a very deep conference for whatever reason this year. I point to quarterback play. I just don't think the quarterback play is good enough in the Big Ten.
Really an interesting scenario could play out, Adam, and you touched on it with Tennessee. Should it finish 11-1? I think it is one of the best four teams in the country. But then you have TCU, which could win its remaining two games, win the Big 12 championship game. They're not going to be left out undefeated, are they?
Oh, no, no. And all those scenarios, I think, Mark, are presuming TCU loses. That TCU has really defied all the doubts, especially with their win last week against Texas. The defense was so good. Didn't allow an offensive touchdown. And, you know, we'll see what they do against Baylor. Baylor's been a weird team this year. At times they've looked great. At times, like last week against Kansas State, they were horrible. And so which Baylor is going to show up? TCU kind of spoiled Baylor's deal last year, even though they still went on to win the Big 12. You know, maybe Baylor returns the favor. But if TCU can get past Baylor, you know, it's an Iowa State team, which we know, you know, isn't very good on offense, doesn't have a very good record at home, and then they'd be playing the Big 12 championship game right down the road in Arlington, Texas, and so probably, you know, against Kansas State. So if TCU can get through, they're absolutely going to the top four. If they lose and they're a one-loss Big 12 champion, it gets interesting because then there's a lot of other teams that you know, you're going to start comparing their resumes to what TCU has done. And the Big 12 is one of those leagues where, you know, you don't get any weeks off, but there also aren't any other elite teams than TCU. I think Kansas State is a really good team, but they still have three losses. You know, everybody else has three losses, four losses. A lot of teams in that sort of 6 to 8 win range, that probably isn't going to resonate enough with the committee.
You know, Tennessee may benefit by not playing in the championship game.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Tennessee is in a very favorable position right now. That, you know, they have two games where they're going to be heavily favored, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. And as long as they don't stumble, you know, they're 11-1 with a blowout win against LSU, which won the West, the win against Alabama. I know some of their other wins have been devalued. Kentucky doesn't look as good. But, you know, they've been a great offense all year except for one bad day against a really, really good defense in Athens, Georgia. So it's a hard team to keep out of this mix. But it's possible, certainly, if we're talking about conference champions going against them. But I think if you're Tennessee – just knowing that Ohio State or Michigan is going to have a loss, you have to feel pretty good about your chances.
Mm-hmm. That's on the field. Some off the field stuff here before we let you go, Adam. Jim Leonard had some very interesting things to say about recruiting, and he called it poaching. He went out and said other teams are poaching other teams' players. You've got NIL now. You've got Jim Leonard talking about it. Now you have Iowa's five-star recruit, Caden Proctor, hopping on a plane to go to Eugene, Oregon to go visit the Oregon campus after being committed to Iowa. We know that this has gone on for a while. Is the problem out of control now with NIL? Can it be reeled in? I guess your thoughts about it.
Yeah, it is an issue, and I don't really know what the solution is going to be because it's so difficult to get everybody to agree on the policy nationally that will actually be adhered to. You know, there's different laws in different states. There's obviously different resources. Some programs are further along with NIL than others are, and you can't blame the athletes, right? They're trying to figure out the best situation for them. I think the three of us would probably do the same thing. But yeah, in terms of Leonard, I talked with Jimmy last Monday, and you know he kind of reiterated to me what he said elsewhere, which is, you know, we got to make a decision, and whether it's me, whether it's someone else, you know, for the Wisconsin can't let the cycle go too far into December, for instance, before they say, okay, here's our next coach, here's what we're doing, and if he had beaten Iowa, maybe this would be over, guys. Maybe we would know right now that Jim is going to be the permanent coach, and some of the, you know, tampering probably wouldn't stop, but it'd be harder to get a player to leave a situation, especially if he has a relationship with Jim. So I'm interested to see when they do make their choice and what Jim Leonard has to do to convince his bosses that he should be the guy going forward at Wisconsin.
Do you have an opinion on Iowa, Minnesota, Adam?
Well, I think it's going to be, again, a cold game, probably not very many points. You know, Iowa seemingly has some momentum right now, even though they're still not you know, I don't think they've had too many great offensive performances. Very similar teams, though. You know, Minnesota doesn't have necessarily all Big Ten players on defense like Iowa does, but their overall numbers as a unit are really good. And they have the best offensive player on the field in Mohamed Ibrahim. So that's going to be the task for Iowa, who has done such a great job against the run for most of the season. Can they slow him down, force Minnesota to make plays through the air? And if they do, I really do like Iowa's chances to win this game and go into that Nebraska game with a chance to get to Indianapolis.
4 weeks ago, everyone, well, 95% of the people in Iowa did not have a very favorable opinion of the Hawkeye coaching staff and whatnot. And here they are with a chance to go 8-4 and go back to Indianapolis. Is this the Mona Lisa of Kirk Ferentz?
Yeah. It's an interesting situation. And, you know, obviously you want to root for your team and you want to root for them to do well. But you do wonder, you know, if they sort of backdoor their way into Indy, does it sort of put Iowa in a similar position going forward? Because given how poor they were on offense, there were all these, you know, why is Brian Ferentz still there? Why don't they change things? I still don't know why they didn't go into the transfer portal for a quarterback. That was an egregious error on Iowa's part, but it may not cost them. And so I can probably sense, and I don't know if your listeners are in this position, but maybe a little bit of conflicted feelings. I mean, you obviously want your team to win, but if it's going to be kind of the same situation every year and no changes in terms of personnel and recruiting and play calling and offensive philosophy, it's just hard to see the Iowa program really moving forward towards a position where they can contend in the expanded playoff format. That's where I would be at as an Iowa fan. Happy that they're doing better, but a little bit conflicted that, hey, does this just mean we're not going to change anything going forward? That's probably where I would be.
Well, somebody's going to win the Big Ten West. We know that. They will show up on December 3rd in Indianapolis to take on either Ohio State and Michigan. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting, certainly. But, hey, Adam, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for the insight, and look forward to talking again with you soon.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you. Thanks.
You bet. Adam Rittenberg joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Before we get to you, Mark, we got to remember Matt in Fairfax had the comment that the pretty girl wants to take you on a date before you get married. Nothing wrong with enjoying a weekend for Proctor.
Yep.
Which, you know, set off questions for Matt. Are you single? From 0818. And then 1477. The dude who made the marriage analogy has obviously never been married. We had to get those in. Had to get those in, Matt. Thank you for being a good sport about it right there. I again will not comment. All I'm going to do is introduce Mark for an Emil's Highway scoreboard update.
It wouldn't work in circles I travel. I know that.
It is brought to you by Emil's Highway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Are open in about 8 minutes or so.
Receiving star Cooper Kupp on the shelf. He is on injured reserve after having ankle surgery. He'll miss at least 4 weeks. Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker has been named one of 51 nominees for the Broyles Award, which goes to the top assistant coach in the country. The NFL looking at expanding its overseas games to Spain and France.
Enough.
And finally, one moment, Anthony Rizzo is a free agent. The next minute, he signs a multi-year deal with the Yankees. He turned down his qualifying offer with the Yankees, and shortly thereafter, it was announced Rizzo and the Yankees had come to terms on a long-term contract.
Interesting. Tyler Anderson, I see, is also on the move from the Angel, from the Dodgers to the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
So a piece of the Dodger puzzle is out the door right there. We're going to see more movement as far as it's a good crop this year as far as free agents in the world of Major League Baseball is concerned. So we're going to see some of those folks starting to move here in the next month or so. Take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right after this on KGYM.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
You probably know that a natural gas leak smells like rotten eggs, but what does a gas leak look or sound like? If you hear a whooshing or hissing sound, see dirt, dust, or water spraying from an area, or you get dizzy or queasy, leave the area immediately, then call 1-800-595-5325 once you're safely away. See MidAmericanEnergy.com for more safety tips.
Paid for by the customers of MidAmerican Energy.
Final couple minutes of the gym class coming your way here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Todd and Alex coming your way next from 4 until 6. And then we've got the doubleheader, the Champions Classic doubleheader from ESPN. We'll join the first game just ahead of tip-off tonight. I believe they're playing it at Madison Square Garden again, Mark. Is that the case?
I believe you're right.
I'll double-check while you give the poll question at KGYMradio.com.
Which two teams win tonight in said games? Michigan State and Duke, Michigan State and Kansas, Kentucky and Duke, or Kentucky and Kansas? Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thank you to Steve Anderson and his team on Highway 1 West.
They're playing in Indy. They are not playing at Madison Square Garden like usual. It's in Indianapolis.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah. It should be fun. That is always those four teams, a round robin. And you know, Michigan State looked good against Gonzaga. Probably should have won that game and would have if Gonzaga didn't have the best player in the floor with Drew Timmy. I mean, he absolutely carried Gonzaga in that game. And Gonzaga is good, but they're not as good as they've been the last couple of years. They got a couple of holes. Michigan State is young at places. Still can't shoot it real well from the outside, but they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine in the Big Ten this year. I'm really looking forward to those two games. We'll have them tonight for you right here on all of our frequencies on KGYM. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting for it. You've been asking about it. We deliver the first appearance of the year of the one and only Mark Ironside tomorrow. Right here on this very program, in this very studio.
Look forward to it. Iowa with the win under its belt over Cal Baptist. Not a full lineup out there. Not a, you know, real tough test by any means. But we'll get a lowdown on the season and some of the new faces for Mark.
Mark will be on, and then Chris Liss of Real Man Sports will answer your fantasy football questions as well. Coming up tomorrow. So looking forward to that. And thanks to Mike Grimm, to Adam Rittenberg. Mark, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great.
You've been listening to the gym class right here on KGYM. Have a great night.
Yeah, we're replacing the carpets too, so don't worry about that.
No fresh powder yet, but Dan's Ski Lodge has an avalanche of projects.
Yeah, those four rooms are getting hot tubs.
He needs a staff engineer to navigate a flurry of new requests.
And all of those will be fully ADA accessible.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by